your Bibles this morning to the Psalm 125, the 125th Psalm. We are looking at a series that the Lord had laid on my heart some time ago, and it's Journey into Jerusalem, Songs for the Journey of Faith. We began in Psalm 120, we're going to Psalm 134, and I want this to be our focus as we look on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. And both Sunday morning and Sunday night will be on the Facebook Live, and then Wednesday night will be on audio on the church website. But this is a really good series. It has a lot of practical applications as we're traveling through life. And we now come to Psalm 125, and this thought that I want to leave with you today: surrounded by the Lord. Surrounded by the Lord. And if you found your place, let's look here. Five verses. Psalm 125. And I really, really like this a lot. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside into their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of his word this morning. What a comfort there in verse 1 and 2. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Psalms. Some of my favorite passages of all of Scripture has to deal with these songs, these prayers, these reflections upon real life stuff, how the emotions, how the feelings, how the heart is feeling, and how man expresses himself to you in the sorrows and the craziness of this world. And Lord, help us to be mindful as we look in this passage that we're just pilgrims passing through. We're citizens of another world. Lord, I pray that you'd be with each and every person, be with every heart. And I pray you use this to encourage us and to challenge us to trust in you as you are surrounding us. I love you, Lord. Thank you for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. I begin with this question. Where do you find your security? In what do you find your security? In what are you trusting in? Where do you find your identity? Some people find their security in entrusting in who they are. Maybe their title, their reputation, their name. Some people are trusting in and finding security in what they do, their profession, their accomplishments. Some people are trusting in with what they know, maybe their education, their degrees, their influence, their intelligence. Some people are trusting in and finding security in what they have, maybe their house, their cars, their material things, their investments, their assets, their blessings. Some people are trusting in and finding security in who is leading them, their teachers, their coaches, their leadership, there may be a president or a pastor or whatever it is. All these things are admirable this morning, but they were never meant to be trusted. They were never meant to be to find security in. They were never meant to find identity. We all are hardwired by God to worship, to attribute worth to someone or something. And when these things take the place of God in our lives, they will be worshiped and they will be depended upon more than God. Think about this. Think about this this morning. Your title, your reputation, your name all disappear as soon as they close your casket. If not, then everybody who knew you when their casket's closed, you're forgotten. Think about this. Your profession and accomplishments will disappear as soon as either life changes, you go through transition, or once again, they close your casket to be occupied by somebody else. Think about this, your intelligence, your education, your degrees, while all good things, and we should strive for those, are temporal in light of eternity. Think about this, your house, your car, your investments, your assets, your blessings can go away in one day with a stock market crash or a catastrophe in the world or a fire or a natural disaster or anything, any circumstance out of your control, you can lose that out of your grasp. Think about this. Teachers, coaches, pastors, presidents, etc. are meant to lead us and guide us, and they are human. Sinners just like you and me, they were never, ever meant to take the place of God in our lives. In what do you find your security this morning? Where do you find your identity? Who or what are you trusting in today? So with that in mind, we look in our series, A Journey to Jerusalem. Psalm 120 to Psalm 134, 15 Psalms of Ascent. The pilgrims, as they would travel to Jerusalem for the feast in that day, would sing these songs as they are traveling up to Jerusalem. The literal illustration is our illustration as believers. We are pilgrims just passing through. We're heading to a new Jerusalem, a place prepared for us by the Lord Jesus Christ, whose building and maker is God. We as believers are people who spend our lives going to God. The way to Him is through Jesus Christ. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the program is the race marked off before us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 120 to 134 is an incredible background for understanding our journey, our adventure of faith to Christ as we go to that new Jerusalem. These 15 songs for the road, they provide a way to remember who we are and where we're going. They're sung in the in-between, in the mundane moments of life. This is where He takes the experiences and the circumstances and the ups and the downs of our life to mold us and to make us who He wants us to be. They're songs of transition. They're songs that provide courage and support, inner direction. It centers us to get our mind focused on Christ and where we're supposed to be going. So the very first verse of Psalm 125 sets the tone for the whole psalm. I love this verse. Those who trust in the Lord, they that trust in the Lord, verse 1, not in those who trust in their performance, not in those who trust in their morality or their morals, not those who trust in their righteousness, not those that trust in their health, not those that trust in their pastor, not those who trust in their doctor, not those who trust in their president, not those who trust in their country, not those who trust in their nation, but those that trust in the Lord. He is number one. He should be the number one priority. Those who decide that God is for us and will make us eternally whole through Jesus Christ. Those that trust in the Lord. Note the next part of this verse. Shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Mount Zion is figurative of speaking of Jerusalem. Where are they headed? They're heading up to Jerusalem. So their thoughts are fixed on Jerusalem. And the illustration here, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. Hey, that's security, my friend. Being a Christian, learning Christ, believing on Him, trusting Him for salvation is like sitting in the middle of Jerusalem, fortified and secure. The emphasis of this psalm is not on the precariousness of the Christian life, but on our security. Living the Christian life, some people think, this is what some people think the Christian life is. I'm on this tightrope. I'm trying to balance it out here. If I fall, somebody's going to laugh at me. That's what people think the Christian life is. If I don't make a good illustration, let me give you another one. I'm on top of this huge razor blade. If I don't, I'm going to fall and cut myself. So many people think their Christian life is that way, and it's not true. Living the Christian life according to this psalm, trusting the Lord, is like sitting in the middle of a fortress, surrounded by the Lord. When we're up, when we're down, on good days, on bad days. The psalmist uses familiar geography to demonstrate this truth in verse 2. He says, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. He uses familiar geography to demonstrate this truth. As the pilgrim is traveling Jerusalem, thoughts flood his mind. Maybe of Passovers of time past, or a Pentecost of time past, or Feast of Tabernacles of times past, and the memories and the family and the times. And then this illustration alludes to our security in the Lord through Christ as sitting secure in this natural fortress, which is Jerusalem. And it says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Do you know Jerusalem was built on a natural fortification of seven hills? The map shows you. You've got Mount Moriah, where the Temple Mount is, Mount Ophel, Mount Bezetha, Mount Acre, Mount Garib, Mount Goath, Mount Zion, seven mountains, and then across from the Kidron Valley, you've got the Mount of Olives, the Mount Scopus, Mount of Corruption. You have three other mounts on the other side of Jerusalem. It was the safest of cities because of the protective fortress that these hills provided naturally by geography. Just so the person of faith is surrounded by the Lord. Better than a city wall, better than a military fortification, is the presence of the God of peace on his people. Geographically, the city of Jerusalem had borders and bulwarks of extraordinary variety and intricacy, which illustrates and enforces that reality. With this in mind, understand, cities in the ancient world were dangerous. Cities had to be built upon natural fortress. Cities had to be built with walls. Each city, because of invaders, you had raiders that would come in and try to invade. The outside world was dangerous. Constant vigilance on those walls and on those mountaintops were a prerequisite for community life and developing the arts of a civilization. Cities needed that extreme defense to make them safe. Immense effort was built on building walls, putting a city in a water source, of course, as well as natural fortification. You know, in our personal lives today, we all build walls. See, we're human. I've mentioned this before. We're like the porcupine. We like to attack and withdraw because of the vulnerability of loving each other, because of what sin causes in our life. So naturally, we like to build the walls up. You know, we build those walls around our heart. We also build walls, quote unquote, around those things we consider valuable. Those things which we trust in for our security and our identity. However, the believer in Christ this morning has the same need for protection and security as anybody else. But what should be different for the child of God is that we don't have to build our own. We're surrounded by the Lord. He is our protection. We need to trust in him. Let him fight the battle for us. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So the emphasis of this psalm in verse 1 and 2 sets the tone, just as the mountains encircle Jerusalem, God encircles his people. You can have security in him. He can be your identity. He is worthy of our worship today. You don't always have to keep looking over your shoulder lest evil overtake you. We don't have to keep our eyes on our footsteps lest we slip. Keep your eyes focused on him. Follow him. Walk by faith and not by sight. God is on our side. He is before us. He is behind us. Psalm 139 tells me, no matter how high I go, no matter how low I go, how far I go, or how dark it is, God is with me. truth this morning. So with this in mind, here's the question that's posed from this text. In what areas are we surrounded by the Lord? This psalm has two stanzas. Verses 1 through 3 is the first stanza. Verses 4 and 5 is the second stanza. The first stanza gives us two areas. I have 2 points this morning. And that these two areas are very comforting, how the Lord surrounds us and he's our security. And it leads us to the second stanza and that of the application. So let's dig in here. I'm going to take my jacket off because I'm getting a little hot from preaching. All right, let's go to number one. Number one, God surrounds us in our security through the insecurities of depression and doubt. The Lord surrounds us. I've already given you verses 1 and 2, but here's the first point. Through the insecurities of depression and doubt, the Lord surrounds us. So when I consider the solidarity of verses 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2 gives us such solidarity. I painted you that picture there. So when I consider this solidarity, I instantly, naturally retreat to my ups and downs. There are times that we all, though we have Christ in our lives, we slip into fearful moods. We become uncertain. We become insecure. That confidence, that robust faith, that desire and know we've got in Christ is conflicted each and every day by how we feel. One threat to that security, feelings of depression and of doubt. One day I wake up and I'm so full of faith, I'm ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. Then some days I wake up and I'm empty and I'm filled with doubt. One day I wake up and I'm full of joy. Next day I wake up, I'm dismal and moody, and I need 3 cups of coffee. Life, especially ministry, is a roller coaster. Up and down, up and down, up and down. That's how our feelings are. We can be moved by nearly anything. Sadness and joy and success and failure. Like the weather, we're like a thermometer that goes up and down with the weather. When I consider the solidarity of these two verses, I instantly retreat to my feelings, my ups and downs. But you know what? When I consider the solidarity of verses 1 and 2, I instantly think of Israel's ups and downs. If you study the Old Testament, Israel was the same exact way. Israel was up one day and down the next. One day they're marching through the Red Sea, singing a song of triumph there in Exodus chapter 15. And the very next day they're in the desert grumbling because they missed Egyptian food. One day they're marching around Jericho, blowing trumpets and the walls are falling down and God gives a victory. The next day they're plunged into gross immorality at some Canaanite fertility idol. One day you're up with Jesus in the upper room, listening to him, learning from him. The very next day you're denying him and cursing him. But all the time, there's something solid, there's something steady. Israel was always God's people. And if you know Christ as Savior, if you're trusting him for salvation, if you're trusting him, the same grace that saved you will get you through this life. Nothing can take that salvation away. Don't trust your feelings. Trust in who you know and what the Word says. God is steadfastly with his people in mercy and grace, and his judgment is instantly gracious. Here, let me give you another illustration. Regardless of what my children do, they have ups and downs. They have good days. They have bad days. There's days I wake up, I was like, are these my children? And there's some days I wake up, oh, they're sweet children. They have ups and downs, but you know what doesn't change? I'm still their father. They're still my, Ella's still my daughter. Liam's still my son. I'm still their father. Nothing will ever change that. Nothing. And I love them. It's the same way it's true with a child of God. You've been adopted into the family of God. God is your heavenly Father. If you know Christ, nothing's going to change that relationship. When I consider the solidarity of verses 1 and 2, I instantly know I cannot trust my ups and downs. See, I retreat to my ups and downs. I instantly think of Israel's ups and downs, but I instantly know that I cannot trust those ups and downs. This psalm here is one way believers, as they would sing to the feast there, they would develop confidence and banish insecurity. This psalm makes its mark not by naively whistling when life is dark, but honestly facing the typical insecurity that besets each and every one of us each and every day, and it puts it in their place. However, the believer is mentioned, is talked to as a solid rock and a solid mountain. Nothing can move it. But what's the principle here? The principle here is we learn to live not by our feelings about God, but facts of God. There's a difference. We cannot make decisions on our feelings. Our feelings change. We've already seen on Wednesday night in Psalm 124, the feelings of fear, the feelings of being overwhelmed by like a flood, and the feeling of being trapped. You just feel like you're trapped. But we are not to live and make decisions by our feelings, because our feelings are deceitful. We refuse to believe our doubts and depressions. We choose to believe in God. If any pastor is honest with you, they will tell you Monday mornings is the worst day of the week for them. That's why I honestly can say, in 5 years, I have never made a major decision on this church on Mondays. Never. Because my feelings are up and down. I don't trust them. I put them in their place. Remember this, the just shall live by faith. It doesn't say the just shall live by their feelings. The just shall live by faith. Dependence on God, hope, and love. Think about this. If I break my leg, I'm not less of a person. I just have to get the leg mended and let the leg heal. There are times in our life when our faith fractures and our feelings bruise. Remember in those moments that God has not cast you off. He does not forget you. He does not reject you. If you know Christ and you know Him as Savior, the Bible says you're a child of God. You're adopted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. Now understand, our feelings are important for many things. If they weren't, God wouldn't give them to us. Our feelings are essential. Our feelings are valuable. They keep us aware of what's true and what's real. It moves our emotions at times, but they tell us next to nothing about God and our relationship to God, because our relationship to God is by faith, through Christ, by faith. Our security comes from who God is, not how I feel. Don't fall ploy to a society that lives in the moment and they make decisions in life on how the moment goes. Discipleship is a decision to live by what I know about God, what I know about Christ, and not by what I feel about Him or myself or my neighbors. When I consider the solidarity of these verses, I retreat to my ups and downs. I think of Israel's ups and downs. I know I cannot trust them. But when I consider the solidarity of verses 1 and 2, I instantly remember that God is greater than my ups and downs. Amen. The image of verses 1 and 2, it announces that dependable, unchanging, safe, secure existence of God's people. Spiritual security and stability come to those who walk by faith. The city of Jerusalem here, as an illustration, was firmly established and not shaken. It was built on a solid foundation of rock that went into the ground. It was surrounded by a number of hills and two sets of walls, probably. It was home to the holy temple of God and the throne of David. God's glory and God's authority dwelt among His people in the Old Testament. The psalmist did not say that God's people should be like Mount Zion, but they are like Mount Zion. There's a difference. Why? Because remember this. We're built upon the solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. Remember, he dwells within us. He surrounds us with his protection and mercy. Remember, as believers, we shall not be moved, the Bible tells us. Remember, like what Paul said in Acts chapter 20, remember, none of these things move me. Remember Romans 5, 2, Galatians 5, 1, we have a marvelous standing. We stand in God's grace. We walk by faith. 2 Thessalonians 2:15, we stand upon the truths of God's word and stand in the will of God. Colossians 4, 12, remember, it's God who enables us to stand. And because he does, we are able to accomplish the work he's called us to do. See, when we begin to trust ourselves, when we begin to trust other people, we bypass the Lord. Then we start to waver. Then we start to trust in our feelings, which go up and down. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, God surrounds his people, giving them covering and protection. Just verse 1 and 2 right there is his own sermon. Through the insecurities of depression and doubt, the Lord surrounds us. The illustration is that of Jerusalem. Let's look at verse 3. It gets better. Through the uncertainties. Number 2, through uncertainties of pain and suffering, the Lord surrounds us. Let's look at verse 3. The rod or the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands into iniquity. This verse is packed plumb full of good stuff here. Because I consider, first of all, in this verse, the scepter or the rod of the wicked. The word rod or scepter means a symbol of sovereignty, a symbol of oppression, of a temporary authority. For those in Israel and Jerusalem, they had more than their share of oppression in their history, if you study the Old Testament. The wicked was on them time and time again. You think of Egypt, then the Philistines. Then you think about the Babylonians, the Assyrians, and then the Romans. Many times due to their sin or even times fulfillment of prophecy, the times of the Gentiles. To an outsider, it may have looked that the wicked fist dominated their lives, but inside the witness of faith said it did not. For us today, pain and suffering, it brings with it oppression. Sometimes we feel trapped by our body. There's uncertainty. Unpleasant things happen to us. We lose what we think we cannot live without. Once again, there's a security. What we are trusted in for our security gets stripped away. Pain comes to those we love. And we conclude that there's no justice. We ask, why does God permit this? There's anxiety. And we say something along the lines of, if this happened to my friend who's good, how long is it going to be till I get my turn on this? The psalmist knows all this when he writes this. Sickness and death and despair and persecution. We got to understand something. All this happens because we live in a sin-cursed world. We're going to be succumbed to sickness. We're going to be succumbed to death. We're going to be succumbed to natural disasters and pandemics and whatever it is that goes on this week. He's familiar with the pillage of military invasion. The psalmist knows the famine and the earthquake of natural disaster. Understand something. Psalm 125, verse 3 was not written by a person who had anesthesia in the hospital. He didn't have aspirin in his medicine chest. His government did not have hundreds of thousands and billions of dollars to spend on national defense. Pain and suffering in these times, in these cities, were certainly a part of daily life. Why did they not destroy his confidence? Because his faith and trust was on the Lord, who was surrounding. Pain and suffering may be part of our daily life. Why did they destroy our confidence? Because our eyes are not trusting in him. Our eyes are trusting in things that we think will bring us security, and they will not. And through the avenues of pain and suffering, sometimes those are stripped away. Move on in this verse. The rod of the wicked, notice this phrase right here, shall not rest. The answer and the key word here is shall not rest. Shall not violate. shall not cancel God's purposes being worked out. You realize that in the midst of pain and suffering in this world, God's purposes are still being worked out. It's not going to cancel that. If the evil fist is permanent, then there's no hope of salvation. But God does not permit that to happen. Danger, pain, oppression is never too much for faith. Remember, evil is only temporary. It's only for a season. I like this quote, every storm will eventually run out of rain. When you start to thinking, oh, we're going to be like this forever. Oh, this inconvenience in me right now. Okay, think about this for a second. If you find yourself complaining about the pandemic, if you find yourself complaining about things going on in 2020, ask yourself this question, where is my security line? Nine times out of 10, you're just being inconvenienced. And when we're inconvenienced, in those times, we've got to adjust our focus. Sometimes God allows us to be inconvenienced so we can adjust our focus on Him. And when we focus on Him, we know that His purposes are being worked out in this world. And this world is not about me. This world is about Him. Ask yourself that question when you find yourself complaining to where we say, oh, this is never going to end. Come on now. I've lived almost 40 years. I'm telling you right now, I've been through some storms. You've been through some storms. Every storm I've been through has eventually ran out of water. Of course, I'm a different person. I've adjusted. But every storm runs out of water. The Lord will not permit the scepter of wickedness to go on forever. You know, the ultimate display of this verse will happen someday when Jesus Christ comes and rules and reigns on this earth. And that is when the scepter of wickedness surely will be removed. And in that day, the scepter of wicked would not remain and will not cause the righteous to turn to injustice. So notice another thing I consider in this verse. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the law of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands in iniquity. When I consider this, faith keeps us obeying. Notice 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God knows when to say it is enough. The people who trust in the Lord will obey His word no matter what others may do, and they will not succumb to temptation. So we see the insecurities of doubt and depression in verse 1 and 2. We see the uncertainties of pain and suffering in verse 3, and the Lord surrounds us. So let's get to the application as the psalmist changes, he shifts gears to verse 4 and 5, and we look at this last stanza and the application based upon the teaching of verses 1 through 3. And here's the application. It's a question that you must ask yourself in your life and your heart. Who or what are you choosing to be your security? Who or what are you choosing to be your security? Verse 4 and 5 presents with us a decision. We see in verse 4, do good, O Lord, to those that be good, to those that are upright in their hearts. In verse 5, as for such, turn aside into their crooked ways. There is a decision there, folks. Will we be upright in our heart? What does that mean, to be upright in our heart? That means to those whose heart trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation and submits to His kingdom agenda? Or will we turn aside to our own way, our own crooked ways? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Both decisions have a consequence. For us who choose to trust the Lord, in verse 4, the psalmist asks God to do good to those that be good. Once you're a believer in Christ, hey, there's no getting out of it. We may have our ups and downs, our joys and our sorrows and our beliefs and our doubts and our insecurities and our uncertainties. Hey, but God is faithful. But God is faithful. We are confident that Christ is the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd who pursues us relentlessly. We sometimes break our promises, but God has never broken His. Hey, discipleship's not a contract where we think we can break and God can break. Hey, listen, discipleship, Christian discipleship is a covenant. When you accept Christ, He establishes the conditions and He guarantees the results when we accept Christ as Savior. those that trust in the Lord. First, we're established by Christ. We decide that God's for us and will make us whole eternally through Christ and what he's done on Calvary's cross. Those that trust the Lord are like Mount Zion. We're entrenched, we're settled, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. We're sentineled, then made like a mount, then protected as if by mountains. There's no tightrope walking through the Christian life, my friend. You have your ups and downs. When you're thinking your Christian life is a tightrope, that's what you're trusting your feelings and not the Lord who surrounds you, who strengthens you, who's made you solid. We are secure this morning, not because of what we have done, not because of ourselves, but we trust that God is sure through Jesus Christ. To live by faith is to keep your eyes on him. Rest on the promises of his word. Do what's right, no matter what others may say or do. Faith means living without scheming. The just shall live by faith. For those now in verse 5 that turn aside to their crooked ways, those people, they've heard Christ, they see that the way of Christ is difficult, and it may cost them something. Once again, it goes back to where you trust them for your security, your identity. They see more of an opening through the trees that promises a softer, easier path. Distracted, diverted by the enemy of our faith, they slip off and turn away from the Lord. This defection requires a deliberate, sustained, and determined act of rejection. You may be sitting here today or listening online. You know the Lord. You know of the Lord. You have heard what Christ has done for you, but you have chosen to reject him. You've chose your own path, your own way. One day the Lord will judge. No matter how much you may be seem you're getting away with resisting the Lord or doing wrong to others. Understand this morning, my friend, the future is your friend when Christ is your Lord. It's not easy to walk the narrow way, but it leads to life. The broad way leads to destruction. Jesus tells us that in Matthew chapter 7. Hey, there may be enjoying the pleasure of sin for a season, but what will the outcome be? The life of faith is not easy, because if it was, everybody would be doing it. The life of unbelief will be much harder over time in this life and in the life to come. Hey, what are you doing with Jesus Christ this morning? Do you know him? Are you trusting him for salvation? Are you rejecting him? Are you choosing him to be your security? Because as verse 1 says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. Now note, if you would, in closing, this last sentence. It says, peace shall be upon Israel, peace upon Israel. That word, shalom. With Christ comes peace. But here's the interpretation in light of what we've talked about. Peace, relax. God's in control. Be secure in the fact that God's still running the show. Neither our feelings or our opinions or depression or the facts of suffering or the possibility of defection are evidence that God's abandoned us. There's nothing more certain that he will accomplish his plan in this world and he will accomplish our salvation. He who hath begun a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Let me close with this illustration. When mountain climbers are tackling dangerous terrain or a dangerous mountain, they embrace the fact that the climb is difficult because the tug of gravity is constant. There are barriers to be surmounted and hazards to be met. Ordinarily, with determination and stamina, they overcome those barriers and they get to the top of whatever mountain they're climbing. But sometimes their foot slips and they give way, and we use a term called backslide. So therefore, when mountain climbers are on dangerous terrain or the face of a cliff or the slopes of a glacier, what do they do? You don't do it alone. You do it together. You rope yourselves together. Sometimes one of them slips and falls. They backslide, but they're roped together. Not everybody falls at once. So those who are still on their feet help pull the other one back up. See where I'm going with this? Sometimes what we as believers give into that idol or whatever it is we're trusting in our security it wars against our soul, our flesh versus our spirit, and we backslide. But the beauty of the body of Christ, we're all yoked together through Christ and the Holy Spirit. We work together as the body to help one that slipped, to help be somebody to pick them back up. And typically on that rope, the person in front is an experienced leader, and our experienced leader is Christ himself, and we're following him up that mountain, up to Jerusalem, and pulling each other up together. There's security in Christ. We're yoked up with him as believers. Therefore, Jesus tells us three times in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:25, Matthew 6:31, Matthew 6:34, do not be anxious. Take no thought for your life. Our life with the Lord is a sure thing. There's security in Christ. Look at verse 1 again. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Do you know him as Savior? Are you trusting him in his life? It is good to know, while journeying through the craziness of this life and the obstacles and the terrain, that we have the body of Christ, but more important, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and we trust in him, not on ourselves, not on other things, not on anything. We trust in him, and he pulls us through. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.